Hey guys, summer is here. It's upon us. It's hot. If you're practicing in your garage, that is not a good scene for you, okay? You need to get to a professional place where they have a PA, you can get loud, you can rock it out, you're in the AC, you're in an environment where there's other people in there doing the same kind of stuff that you are. You can stretch out, you know? You can stretch out. I'm talking about Space Rehearsal and Recording, a uniquely Austin experience, preserving its musical heritage, inspiring future artists. Space is an affordable venue for rehearsal and recording situated just a few short miles from downtown Austin. 31 spacious rooms, wide gallery lit corridors, and excellent parking, they have the space to help you with your creative endeavors. Join their customers that range from local and international musicians, acting troupes, yoga practitioners, performance artists, and me. Yes, Skyrocket has a room. We practice there all the time. I will be there tomorrow morning, rocking it out when they open, 11 a.m. I get there and I rock it out. Okay, you can have, look, it's a great place. We have windows. It's totally soundproofed. And, you know, they have great PAs. They have, you can rent equipment if you need to, like a drum set. Say you got a guy coming in from out of town or you're auditioning people. Great place to audition people, too. You know, that way people don't know where you live, which is pretty important in the audition process. Listen, get where the pros go. Just call them at 448-9518 or go to spaceatx.com. Tell them that you heard about them on How Did I Get Here? You will get one free hour. That's 512-448-9518 or spaceatx.com. Space Rehearsal and Recording. Great place to practice. That's where I do it. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself,
how did I get here? And now here is your host, Johnny Howdy.
All right. Hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for listening. I know that it's a choice you make, and that choice is not lost on me, so I thank you for listening. I have a great show for you today. My guest is Taylor Wilkins from the band Otis the Destroyer. I had the great fortune of getting to see them a few weeks ago, and they were incredible live. Then I got their EP, listened to it. It's really great. And then Taylor came by, and we had a chance to sit down and talk and catch up. He was by a couple years ago, I think, with The Couch. And they have since split up, started two different bands. We talk about it. We figure it out. But I get to the bottom of Otis the Destroyer. Incredibly exciting live band. Really loud and really beautiful, well-rehearsed. They go into some musical spaces that are very exciting and kind of like prog feeling. And they, I don't know, they're very great. They're very emotive. During this interview, though, there's some weird sounds pop up from my machine. Like there's like a and stuff like that. I don't know what was going on. We turned off the machine, turned it on again, got back to business. But somehow it was still making the sound. So anyway, it's still a good conversation. Before we get to it, let me tell you what's happening with me. I had a pretty busy weekend. I went to Houston Thursday with Skyrocket. We played this outdoor show, big outdoor show at this place called Discovery Green downtown. Came back to Austin, played another big show at this place called Steiner Ranch. Now that was off the hook, man. There are some people that are crazy. I mean, there were some crazy people. There was like kids. It was like a mixture. It was all kind of, I'm not downing it, man. And this is a job I have. I love it. I love getting to do this. I love being with my friends. I think we all agree, though, that the crowd overall, in general, there were some regular fans of ours there. There were some these kind of like over 40 parties that they have going on that go on out there, of baby boomer parties. And then like people, families with kids. But there was like drunk sexuality being expressed on the dance floor in an intense way that was very strange. And when the show was over, I walked out to have a smoke, and I saw what really appeared to be two hooker ladies throughout the night. At the end of the night, the guy that they were with was having them pretend to fellate this giant horse statue that's out in the front of this place. And so there's like families leaving with kids and these two chicks like pretending to both blow this horse statue at the same time. The guy's laughing like, oh, come on, get your mouth around it. What's wrong? You can't get your mouth around it? That's what she said. And like making all these weird, I mean, it was completely weird, like a Fellini movie. Like all that was missing was like little clowns, little midgets in clown outfits. That's all that was missing. Okay, so man, weird night, crazy night. Then Saturday morning, we got up, had like a 9 o'clock load in, and played all day at this Taste of North Austin thing at this place here called The Domain. And that was cool, you know. I tried to do a little shopping while I was there because it's a mall, and I found nothing, really, that I was going to buy. I had to do it during break, so I had like 20 minutes. I had to run in there, look around. I had a time frame I was working with, and I was looking for certain things, and I was kind of looking for things to wear then to have costume changes, but that didn't really work out. So anyway, busy weekend, a lot of playing, no new clothes. So that's what went on with me all weekend. Saturday night, I did get to go see The Cats from Japan, which is this David Bowie tribute from this guy named Chris Dye, who was actually on the show, has a band called Die 4 as well. He was on the show maybe like a year, year and a half ago or something. Anyway, he had me come out, and Zuri and I went and saw his band, and they were fucking incredible, man. I mean, they really put on a great show. My friend Derek Morris was playing the keyboards. My other friend Jimmy George playing guitar with these amazing, you know, Mick Ronson tones that were blowing my mind. Great band if you get to go see him. I did have to miss Sphinx that night. And then last night, I was way too tired to make it out, and I missed the Flying Saucer show, so pretty sad. Speaking of shows, though, I am going to be starting to do Tuesdays at Strange Brew, starting Tuesday, July 1st, at 2014, at 8 p.m. My guests will be Jeremy Nail, then I'll play, and then my friend Joseph King will play. Those will be the first ones on Tuesday, July 1st. Come on out, support some music, check it out, hear some songs, you know, hear me do something other than talk the whole time. Anyway, speaking of songs, let's talk to a guy that writes great songs. Taylor Wilkins has his band Otis the Destroyer. Incredible band. Seen him play. Get on the Facebook, find out where they're playing and what they're doing. All right, let's get into it. This guy's a great guy, Taylor. We have a great conversation. Sorry about the noises that pop up, but that happens sometimes. I don't know what's going on with my machine. It's not doing it now, but it was doing it then. All right, from Otis the Destroyer, here's my friend Taylor Wilkins. Let's get down. We're on here before when you were in the couch.
Yeah.
What happened there? You guys split up and you became a couple of different bands?
Yeah, I think it kind of got to a point where Sarah and I were writing so much material that, and originally when she joined the band, it was like she was just going to be doing like instrumental like help and playing guitar and stuff. And then she wrote these great songs and I was like, well, we should play them. And then we got down halfway down the road and we're realizing that we were splitting the set so much that it was like, well, let's just do two bands. I mean, you know, you have a bunch of material. I have a bunch of material. I wanted to take the band in a different direction.
And you did. It has a very, well, we'll get to that in a minute. Let's keep on on the couch story.
Yeah, but, and it was, I think it was more something that I initially brought up as a decision. And Sarah was, like, we talked about it a lot, and we were like, you know, if we're going to stay together in a relationship, it'd be best for us to separate musically.
Okay.
So, and it's worked out great. I mean, her band has gotten underway, and I think now she's much more happy that she's doing it on her own again.
Yeah. So she's stepped out. What's her thing called?
Lowen.
Lowen.
Means lioness in German.
Okay. Is she German? She's blonde,
she has,
I remember that.
Yeah, she has German heritage.
Yeah, and you? What's your heritage?
I don't know.
Okay,
that's a good question.
Wilkins, is that like English or something?
Yeah, it's or at least Scottish, Irish, over there. I guess I know my grandfather was 1/8 Cherokee.
Oh, really?
So I think I have some Native American in me. 1/32nd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you keep up with what's going on with the Native Americans?
Not as well as I probably should.
Yeah, considering it's your people.
Yeah.
And you can know. Okay, so you moved it in a different direction.
Yeah.
And I was listening to your EP today. It's called Dark Arts.
Yes.
Yeah. What's up with that? Are you into?
I like
the Dark Arts. What's going on?
I'm a big sci-fi fantasy nerd.
Okay.
And there's just a lot of books I've read. It's all and they've referenced this, you know, idea of dark arts. And in some books, it's totally evil, but in a lot of the books that I like, it's more of a gray area. You know, it can be good or bad. And I think that there's something kind of sexual about and sexy about good and evil combined.
Yeah.
Versus not just a blanket good or bad.
Yeah.
I kind of like the mixture of, and that's the idea behind Otis in this itself is like something that has like either a beautiful melody over some really nasty fuzzed out chords.
Yeah.
Or really nasty melody over pretty, you know, like some, I like the play between beautiful and kind of gritty.
Yeah.
Destruction.
Like beautiful and kind of sinister underneath.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I like sinister. That's a good word.
Yeah. I do too. I feel like that. I like that's going on. Like I felt like last night, even when I was watching you guys, which by the way, it was a fucking great show.
Thank you very much.
And the band is awesome, and
you
guys are so tight and so like. Last night was a real inspiring night.
Thank you.
Of music, yeah, for sure. I thought that there were moments like there's you keep the melodies going, and the melodies are clear enough and concise enough to be memorable and things that you can latch on to, but then there is an element underneath of like prog that pops up like at the end and middle of songs where you kind of go somewhere that pop guys wouldn't go.
Yeah.
Are you a prog guy?
With the couch, I wanted to be pop, and then I listened, I kind of got some perspective and time, and I realized I had gained some perspective on what I was writing, and I realized, man, I really like the melody aspects of rock, of this type of music, but I really wanted to push it into like more prog rock. I listen to a lot of garage rock and psych rock and kind of moodier, darker stuff.
Like who do you listen to?
I like Ty Segall a lot.
Okay.
I like White Fences. Big fan of the kind of production value, the grittier vocals and stuff.
Right.
You know.
Who did this EP?
We did.
Really?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
You guys are really good. Like, you really captured it.
Thank you.
On there, yeah. Sounds great.
Well, to our benefit, our bass player is an audio engineer, so
okay.
It's not like we, just learned. We had some. He had a lot of experience.
And what about gear? Like, what kind of gear were you guys working on?
We were working on a Neve.
Neve?
Neve.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He knows.
No shit. He's like a knee board.
Yeah,
it's his or
no, it's not his. It's
Where'd you guys go?
Fifth Street Studios and Ronjo Studios.
Okay,
yeah,
I've been to Fifth Street Studios. Right, that's across the street from Whole Foods, kind of.
Yep.
Yeah, I made a record there with somebody.
It's good stuff.
Yeah,
we did bass, drums, guitar, and a little bit of guitar work, and then we finished most of the record at Ronjo.
Where's that?
It's up north off of. Not Ben White.
So it wasn't like this record was made in your house or something?
No.
No.
No, we made it in the studio, but we did everything ourselves.
Okay.
Except for the mastering.
Right.
I don't think anyone should master their own record.
Unless you're a great master.
Yeah, and you can write songs. That's
I don't think those two, there's a lot of people that can do both. It's like two parts of your brain
it's two different
are against each other.
Absolutely.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah. So it says that you're working on a full-length album.
Yeah.
Well, how long have you guys been together?
Since January.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is a new...
Yeah.
Wait, since January 2014?
Yeah.
Wow, and you already recorded an EP and stuff, and is it...
Yeah.
It's on SoundCloud. Is it available, like, on iTunes and stuff?
It should be now. I think we got it in a little later in the day. It takes a little while for it to load up on the, all those outlets. But yeah, it should be all available.
Wow.
Everywhere. Yeah.
That's really fast. Did you guys do anything at South By or anything?
Yeah, we played. I think six shows at South By.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Oh gosh. This is when I should have remembered.
Ernie, like, were you like officially in, or you were doing like, oh yeah, wow, yeah. Shit.
We, you know, I mean, obviously I used the couch to propel this band.
Yeah.
But hell, why not? I mean, we put so much damn time.
Sure,
but,
sure.
So that there was a lot of help. It wasn't like, you know, we played one show and were signed or some crazy thing like that. It was, the change in the bands was real, it was purposeful and planned out. So, like, when January 1st hit, we had worked on the whole new set of songs, and we're going to play a show, you know.
As that band?
Yeah.
As Otis the Destroyer. Mm-hmm. Where'd you get the name?
My dog and my dad.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wait, your dad's name Otis and your dog?
So my dad in college was, is a big guy, and he could hold his own on liquor, and so he got the name Otis from the town drunk from the Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah.
And then I heard that story and thought it was great because I've never seen him drunk in my life. So just hearing him have that nickname is like kind of the dichotomy or parallel. But so I named my dog that, and he's a destroyer, of course, like all dogs are. But I posted some Instagram photo like a year ago and wrote, my little destroyer. And I thought, well, I don't like my little, but I like the word destroyer. And it just kind of came, you know,
yeah.
Many, many versions like all bands go through, I'm sure, with band names. It was just that perfect combination that sounded right.
Yeah.
It meant something.
Yeah. It sounds good, too.
I hope
remembered
so.
It.
I know a lot of people are like, oh, you guys are a metal band. And I was like, yeah, I mean, no, not really, but.
No, but you are. You're very loud.
Yes.
Which I appreciate.
It is a good thing to be loud. I sometimes wish that we were a quiet band so we could play more venues, but at the end of the day, I'd rather play rock.
Last night you were
roll.
Playing a pretty small
yeah.
venue, and you just fucking blew the doors off it. That's the way it should be.
You have to.
Yeah.
You can't kind of be a loud band.
You
yeah. have to. You
yeah,
have
yeah.
To
you
it.
Either have to be it or you're not it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough. That's a commitment.
It is. It's. You, sometimes it's easier to look down and slam into it than it is to look forward and see some people are like, oh my gosh,
yeah,
these guys are blowing my eardrums.
Yeah. What's your pedal board situation?
I run two amps now, just two combos, a Marshall combo and a Fender combo. That sounds kind of like shit, but I like to blend the tones a lot. I learned that from working in the studio with James from uh-huh. White Denim. So I use two amps and a tremolo pedal, Boss tremolo pedal, obviously Boss chromatic tuner. I got a ZTEC fuzz, which
oh, yeah.
I really love.
Fuzz Factory?
Yeah. Fuzz
that's
Factory.
That's a fun one.
And OCD, of course, that's clutch.
Yeah.
Boss octave pedal. And then a TC... TC
Electronics.
Yeah, TC yeah. Electronics delay.
Okay.
It's nice.
Yeah.
And then DD6 delay.
Delay, another digital delay.
Yeah, and I run both delays through the separate amps, kind of get that bigger sound.
Run them like stereo delay?
I don't run them stereo. I just run them in like one delay through one amp and the other.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
when I do
oh, that's
kind
of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, one stays delayless and the other one stays delayful.
Or one,
or
yeah.
different delays.
Absolutely, or one I just hold down, you know, one of them's got the loop, or I guess wall of sound feature where you just step on the pedal and it repeats the signal.
Right.
I like doing that while continuing lead. That's a fun trick.
Yeah. So how many gigs have you played as this band? Obviously six during South by Southwest and one last night that I know of,
and
seven.
We played two free week shows. We've done some road stuff. We've played McAllen, Laredo, Louisiana, 3 dates in Louisiana and New Orleans and stuff. That was fun.
How are you well received in McAllen and like Laredo? What's going on down there musically?
Oh, man.
That's happening.
They love I think they love the rock and roll. They call us Cobble, or not all of them, but some of the people that we've become friends with while we were in the couch and then transitioned to Otis the Destroyer, I've called us Caballeros, like white cowboys.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they think that you know, they're like, yeah, you guys come down here and you're like rock stars, but it's kind of funny. It's different experience than the way you're received in Austin, which you don't know to the end of the show afterwards when you talk to people whether you played well, because people most of the time just stand there and watch. as opposed to you go to McAllen and Laredo and they're like, oh shit, this is a legit band that's not playing covers.
They freak after songs.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, oh shit, where are you guys from? You know, it's a great experience. So we've met so many, I mean, just, you know, from meeting people and having a good time, that aspect, it's been great.
It's my favorite part of the whole thing.
Yeah, meeting
people. I really love meeting people, having a good time.
Because there's so many interesting people.
There are. It's a lot of rock and roll guys at your show last night. Britt Daniel was there.
Oh, yeah. I hope he liked it.
Yeah. Isn't that weird when someone like that, do you ever, what happens when you find out somebody, and not even like not in the, because I don't live in that world where I'm like, oh, you know, that guy was there, he could make me famous.
Mm-hmm.
But more like, you want that guy to like you. You want that guy to go like, oh yeah, Otis the Destroyer, that's a cool band. When are they playing again?
Yeah, I think even on his level, though, I mean, when I see bands out, and if I'm not out, if I'm just to hang out there to hang out at a show, not really particularly see anybody, but see some friends who are at the show, I find myself still looking at a band, and there's probably like a 25% chance I'm going to be like, I'm going to try to remember who this band is,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because you just kind of turn your brain off, I think, as sometimes a musician, when you go see bands, or when you're at a show, because you're like seeing so many bands, I sometimes get, I could see from his point of view, him being like, oh, it's a cool band, and then the next day,
he doesn't remember.
But maybe down the line, he sees our name, he's like, oh, I saw them once, they were cool. And that's what I hope for more than him going home and messaging his agent, be like, you got to find these guys, Otis Destroyer,
right.
Pick them up.
I don't think that really happens very much, do you?
No, I don't think that.
So, all right, sorry, we fixed that horrible sound that was happening.
No, yeah.
Sorry to the listeners. I do not know what was going on, except that there was a ghost in the machine that hates Taylor and his band Otis the Destroyer. So, when you're going in to do this next record, you're going to do it yourself? The full length? Or do you have a producer? Or what's happening?
What the process that's worked best for us, what we did this time around was we got it to where we wanted it, and then we brought someone in and we're like, what do you think? And it was actually James from White Denim sat down and listened to the songs and was like, you know, he gave us his feedback, and he was really great. He worked for us like for about a day and a half and just hung out, and you know, it's when you respect a musician or I guess a producer and they give you an opinion that you actually agree with, and you're like, oh wow, that would sound cool, and then you do it and it sounds great, it opens up the idea of being able to invite more people in to criticize, or not criticize but produce. So I think that we would definitely produce, but I'd want it to be someone that I generally like and respect, not just because,
and make it more like a collaborative energy.
Right. I don't like a lot of the records. There's a lot of producers in town that I wouldn't necessarily want to record with. There's a lot of great ones, but there's nobody in town that I'm like, oh, I've heard them do this band, and I'm really jonesing for that, you know?
Yeah.
Not to...
And no. And I understand you're trying to find your own voice musically, and you don't really want someone else's trip that they laid on somebody else at some point laid on you.
Right.
And you've heard that happen. Well, we've all heard that happen with people. I think it's this mic. Look, we're just going to have to talk through it.
That's totally fine.
I'm sorry, listeners. There's a war going on outside. It's Armageddon.
We're at the ocean.
Yeah, we could pretend. Do you work? Do you have a day job or something?
Yeah, like all musicians in this town, I think I work at a restaurant.
What kind of restaurant?
It's this place called Hillside Pharmacy.
I think I know where that is.
Yeah, it's a good place. It's great staff, great group of people. I like the food. It's two blocks from my house.
Do you get do you find that makes you work harder on your thing, like when you get home, as opposed to not having a schedule, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, well, sometimes I think that yeah, absolutely. I mean, but I like my job, but I've been in many job situations where I'm at the job and I'm like, God, I'm only working this so I can play music. Why am I here? This is terrible. Retail, good Lord, that's the dredge.
Yeah, it seems like with waiting tables or something, you're in and you're out a little bit more, and you're you pick up some cash and you go.
I feel like you're a modern day kind of pirate. You know, you're out there like swindling for your booty.
Yeah,
And it's great. I love that aspect of waiting tables, but. Yeah, it's your own. You're working for your own money as opposed to selling someone else's stuff for the same $7.50 an hour. You know,
right.
Regardless of how good you do.
Do you play in Sarah's band?
No.
So you're not playing music at all together.
We do. We haven't had time to really nurture it, but we have an acoustic project that we call Woodbury Beasts. That we've played and done some shows, but. You know, I think that we're both really into rock and roll right now, and I don't know what it is, but sitting down and playing an acoustic is so much more challenging for me. It's like not my comfort zone.
No, and with the dynamics that you play with, I could see how it would be kind of a drag because you don't really have anywhere to go.
Yeah.
Except quieter and louder, but not really broadening it anyway.
Exactly. And I mean, I could, you know, it's all about how you arrange and approach writing the song, but... You know, I don't write a lot of material that would come across well from just an acoustic in my voice. You know, I need the band.
Yeah.
I like the band.
When you first started out, did you start out on acoustic? Some people do. I did. And
yeah.
Then I got an electric.
Yeah, it was so weird. I only played acoustic for a long time. But then I would play in bands an electric, but I never played electric at home.
Huh.
I find it. And now I'm just really, in the last 2 years, like, sitting down with a loop pedal and, like, really... practicing and writing like leads and stuff,
right,
as opposed to jamming it out, bro.
Hey, you have a strap like this, I noticed last night.
Yeah, I got it from my friend Justin, plays in this band called Buzz and Bangs, from a guy who used to play from this band Murdoch's.
Oh yeah,
so it's like a triple hand-me-down.
Yeah, that's a hand-me-down.
Nice.
From Rick Nielsen.
Oh shit.
Cheap Trick, that's his strap. He didn't hand it down to me. His roadie took an old one and gave it to an old tour manager of mine that was working with the band that was opening for them. Wow. That's amazing. I mean, it's still recording. I think it fixed it.
Yeah.
That was a weird sound. Listeners, did you enjoy that? I thought that sound was my I thought I was going to see smoke coming out of it, and I was going to be like, Taylor, I'm really sorry, man, but I don't think this is going to work. So are you active on social media?
Yeah, I've gotten a lot better at it. I you know, my goal is to make 2 band posts a day on the band page. You know, I think that, yeah, I don't want to annoy people, but you have to keep those things constant.
Yeah.
You know, it's a job.
I had a conversation with this guy, Steve Poltz. Do you know who that is?
Mm-hmm.
Songwriter guy. He and I were talking about, he was talking about how at this point it's almost better to your vantage point to release singles just simply because of the real estate that you're getting in a feed, because you're constantly putting out something new as opposed to like, here's an album. That's the only thing you can ever say about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Does it freak you out? I mean, are people getting the, like, do you see your sales? Or movement? Are people getting a song? Are people getting your whole EP? It seems like with your thing, you'd be like more of a music fan band that people that actually buy albums would listen to, and maybe even people that would listen to a show like this because of that into music.
Yeah, I think that I think the benefit of having an EP is it encourages people, because they're like, I can handle 4 songs, but yeah. If you don't know anything about a band, or you only hear 1 song, and the only option is to buy a 12 song album that costs $10 or $15,
right.
You're like, I don't know. I mean, you can always find it, obviously, but I don't think you have to release albums. I like the idea. I'm like an old romantic in that sense.
Me
that
too.
I like it to be one body of work, but hell, I mean, as far as money goes, releasing a single is a lot easier than releasing 12 songs.
Hell yeah.
And you can focus, and you can really, you know, I mean, there are songs that I've listened to a million times because they recorded it the right way and wrote it the right way.
Yeah.
So I think that there's something to be said for that. But there's also albums, and there's those gems in the albums. They're not the greatest songs, but you love them because they're like kind of an ugly stepchild, you know.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, also, you seem like a band also that would put out a record on vinyl. Do you have plans for that? Or do you, no plans yet, just record the album and figure the next step out once we do it?
I think it all depends on what happens, you know? I mean, if as a band start making more money and it makes sense, I think we will. But I've seen so many of my friends and so many bands just do it because they think that's what's going to make it for them. It's like, man, release songs digitally and then worry about playing good shows and playing well at those shows.
Right.
That'll get you farther than I think anything else will. I mean, because if you say you put out a great single and you went in the studio and you banged it out and it's the greatest fucking thing and people love it, and then they go see your band and you're horrible, you'll ruin it for people. They will write you off so quickly, you know. And I think that, I don't know what point I was trying to get at, but yeah, I think that.
Well, you're just saying like there's better places to put your energy.
Yes.
Maybe into a vinyl album. That's a very expensive upfront cost.
Yeah.
And now kind of upfront cost, if you can record yourselves, as you guys have, maybe pay, you know, a small amount for the studio, but you guys are running your own thing. You put something out digitally. You don't really have that much of a tremendous loss, or like I have, a closet full of fucking boxes of CDs.
Exactly. I mean, we're on the small label called Rondo Records.
Okay, I saw that. I didn't know if that was your own label or you are. They're just kind of.
Yeah. And
what does a small label like that do? Like, what's their role in your career? Because you have a publicist.
Uh-huh.
And that's a hired person outside of you. You guys hired that person.
Right.
Okay, so what is the label? What are they called?
The Rondo Records.
Okay. And what is their role?
Well, at this moment, they're kind of just kind of getting rolling. But at this moment, what has provided us is like studio time.
Okay.
And so we kind of have, you know, we signed a contract and we got as much time as we needed. And we didn't waste it because we've done that before and spent a lot of money. But
you mean, are you talking about the EP?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I was going to say, unless you spent like a year and a half on it, it does not sound like any time wasted. I mean, it really, really is, you know.
Yeah, thank you.
It's totally quality.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's up against whatever, anything you'd listen to, I think.
Well, that means a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I think, no, it's totally fine. At this point, I don't think they're trying to figure out what they can do for themselves and kind of getting the studio, the label up and running. But for now, the best thing they've done for us is given us the ability to record without pressure.
Yeah.
Because while we put the pressure on ourselves, having less of a an immediate monetary pressure, it just, you know, opens up the brain, you know.
Sure.
And we've worked under all kinds of conditions, and this has been the best because we set our pace, we listened back and realized without stressing, we need to do more here. You know, beforehand, if you listen to it, you're like, oh, crap, we need to add a lot of stuff. We're going to have to spend this much more money, and then you have to book the date, you know.
Yeah, make sure all the guys can make it.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's just, as any band has probably experienced, it's recording a record. It has its different types of stresses, and
sure,
there's just a lot taken out of that. There's a lot less stress.
While there's certain stresses are lessened by taking over the thing yourself, there's a whole new load of stresses that come along with doing it yourself.
Because there's this number that's building up somewhere in the closet.
You're trying not to think about it while you're working to keep, you know.
You're going to have to face it someday.
Yeah.
It was like grad school. I was like, damn these classes. I'm going to owe the government my whole life. And I do.
But what did you get what did you go to grad school for?
I got my master's in applied sociology.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm using it really well right now as I work in this restaurant.
What do you do as an applied sociologist? What is that? Is that a job?
Applied sociology just means you apply sociology to everyday life. So, you know.
Well, maybe you're doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. I am keeping some spreadsheets about the people we play with and how they respond.
Yeah. What else was I going to ask you? Oh, I know what I was going to ask you. What plans do you have for the summer? Any big shows? Any festivals? Seems like you guys would do really well at festivals. Your energy is amazing. I was totally blown away last night. Very inspired and very excited after I saw you guys.
Thank you. As far as like what our plans are, we have a couple of shows booked in Arizona for some festival. I'm not allowed to announce it yet.
Oh, that's cool.
But we're playing there, and I think we've already done some shows throughout June, and we're going to continue. I think next week we're in Tulsa, Waco, and...
So you keep a steady... You have a booking agent?
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Devin Garcia at mm-hmm. Toro Booking. Yeah. He's worked with Sabrina for Bobby Jealousy when they were still together, and then okay. Sweet Spirit. Just started working with Hikes.
Oh, nice.
So he's a great guy. I mean, he puts us on the road as much as we ask him to put us on the road, and he's a really diligent, really great agent.
Good. And he puts you up with good people. Last night was that's a good pairing, you guys and Leopold. That's a very, for someone wants to fucking go and rock and roll.
Yeah.
That's the jam.
We are actually, it's funny you say that, we are in the talks with going on the road with them.
Good.
They're at a, you know, like at the many steps of being in a band, they're that just a good level above us to where we can, well, we like them a lot as a band, but they can help us out and we can help them out. Cause
maybe in certain places, take them to Laredo.
Yeah. And, you know, it's beautiful. That's the beautiful thing that I've come to try to grow and cherish with the Otis is building those contacts.
Yeah.
You know,
And you know, man, sometimes it's funny because it's a delicate balance, man, because there's people that promote themselves and want to get to know you, and it's such a smarmy fucking thing.
Yep.
You meet those guys. I mean, they come into town. I don't know how long you've lived here, you know. Every once in a while, a guy will come in on the scene and totally be like, you know, get the slot opening for Bob Schneider on Monday night at the Saxon Pub by, you know, doing his jazz thing. You know, it's like, hey, I'm a blah, blah, blah. But if they're full of shit, they end up fading out after a little while. They kind of go away, maybe to another place, try their snake oil salesman shit somewhere else.
Yeah, it's funny how that happens. Like, and you have to really wade through the bullshit. And I think I got jaded for a long time. And that's why I stopped really purposely trying to make connections, because... Just like, man, when someone walks up to you and says, good show, 9 times out of 10, it's, and I'm in a band, blah, 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 let's play a show together. And it's, you know, oh.
No, it's all right. But everything's still moving, so we're going.
But, you know, it's not 9 times out of 10 a bad thing. It's just the way you look at it. And I was looking at it in a negative way. And now I'm much more receptive. And I'm like, well, yeah, who are you? I'll check out your band.
And there's nothing wrong with liking somebody and being like, fuck, I like your band. We should, you know, I like hanging out. Sometimes that's the best way to hang out with your friends is book a tour together, you know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, as grown-ups, because you can't really go like, hey, you guys want to go on vacation to Amarillo?
Yeah. It's like, hey, let's play a run in Colorado.
So you guys are out pretty much every weekend?
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, yeah. And until... We're trying to get to this point where we reach all the markets for the first time this year, and then start booking longer, like spread out the going out of town as much, because it'll be easier on our jobs if for a month we don't do anything, and then next month we're out for a week,
right?
Because it's only a week, and then a month later we're chill. Maybe we do a couple weekends,
right?
And then next month we do a week again. I guess a working man's musician is what I like to think of myself as. You know, you gotta consider like keeping at least a job that gives you enough income to do the music until you make enough money.
Yeah.
And that's where publishing and, you know, just playing your ass off and repeatedly going to markets that pay well and asking for just a little bit more and being good people and, you know.
Putting on a fucking great show, which is what you were saying before. It doesn't matter how much you spend on your vinyl.
Yeah.
Or how fucking nice your digipack is with your CD. If you don't have a badass show, I mean, why would anyone come to see you again?
Exactly. I mean, I have people who are always like, man, there was that one show you played in the, you know, in the couch, like in my college, it was like my birthday and you played this one, you know. It's like people really relate to these like individual experiences much in a way that like really I do too. You know, I've seen the Walkmen once, and it was when they played outside Stubbs, and they're one of my favorite bands, and it was an amazing show. And I was just like, man, you know, to love a band and then to see a band live blow you away that you already love is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
But walking onto a band that blows you away is just, there's many things can happen when you see a show, and it can really impact you and really, you know, stick with you for a long time.
Yeah.
Long time.
Upon a band is great. I went to go see some friends of mine that were playing here from New York a couple years ago, and they told me an hour earlier, and I was like, really, dude? I gotta fucking sit through this. And the band that opened for them was Sphinx. Have you heard them?
Oh, they're amazing.
Fucking blew my... I was like, ah, man.
They're a great band.
They're a great band.
Talk about live performance.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll...
And it's ridiculous at times, but not in a way where you feel embarrassed for them in any way.
They're
totally committed to this life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If there was any less commitment in their performance or what they were doing, it would be cheesy, but it's not. It's a magnificent kind of... It's almost Queen-esque. Like,
yeah.
There was some cheekiness in Queen, but yeah. it was with purpose, you know? Yeah. And amazing. They're an amazing band, yeah.
They are. And here's a thing that's interesting, because it seems like with what they're doing, they do have guitars and stuff, but they do have a lot of what's happening. Like, in when you put on... I mean, it's weird to say. It's only like Bruno Mars or someone who has like a track that you can kind of relate to as a guy with a band.
Yeah.
Because everything else is just kind of like,
yeah.
You know, it is turned into extremely dance-oriented. Electronica has really influenced everything. Like even, I mean, a band that I think is mainstream, and I don't totally freak out on their shit every time, but they were making records with Eno, a band like Coldplay, like that, you know?
Oh, yeah, listen
they would have
to
a song
now.
Like, listening to them now is like...
Wow, yeah.
It's like, wow, somebody like, hey, listen, this is what's going on the radio. Let's do that. And it seems like almost like rock and roll has the chance of becoming like what jazz is.
Oh, no.
Like a unique, specific kind of music that used to be very popular. You know what I mean?
I hope that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is with bands like you guys and Leopold and His Fiction. I believe that there is more than enough of an audience out there to sustain a career for a long time as a band.
But you're
Will
right.
Will it be the same amount, a percentage of the world that's into the Beatles or was when they were happening? I don't think so.
No.
Because it doesn't seem like people have the wherewithal to get into something like that anymore because everyone's so...
EDM.
Well, not just EDM. It's so okay to just be mostly into yourself now. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, you know, everyone has their own... My grandma has a Facebook page.
Yeah.
Like my grandmother. What the fuck is she promoting?
Yeah.
Like she's very old. She's got no... You know what I mean?
I mean, that aspect of social media, it's definitely all about self-promotion. It's unfortunate that... you know, it's funny that everyone's so aware of it, too. Like, yeah, it is, but still, I'm going to have to get off... After we're done with this, I'm definitely going to say, just got out of an interview.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you wanted to take a picture so we could put it on
Instagram. Yeah, we got to, you know.
But we have to. But the average Joe, like, if you didn't have something to sell...
Yeah.
Would you be doing it? Would you concern yourself with it? You'd probably have... Join it, but you wouldn't...
You're right.
You wouldn't leave the grocery store and be like, whoa, got a bunch of stuff today.
I don't think so, you know, because I generally have to, like, remind myself. I do, what is it called, set posts.
Okay.
You know,
what does
where
that mean?
You, not set, but it's where you set it for, to you postpone the post, basically.
Oh, okay.
You know, you can schedule them. That's the word I'm trying to figure out. So I schedule all my posts. So I get up in the morning and I'm like, oh, God, I have to post this shit today for the band. I get up there and I schedule 3 or 4. I do it for like the week and I'm done.
Oh, that's cool.
It's great. Especially for someone like me that I don't really like every facet of the whole social media thing. I love it in some respects. You know, it feels great when you post something and 95 people like it.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, that's
why
people
weird,
do
but
it.
There is, yeah.
You know, especially when, and not even if it's 95 people, but if certain people like it.
Yeah.
And it's not like a sexual thing, but like, oh, they're cool.
Yeah.
And
like Brett Daniel, you were like, hey, I'm playing a Cheer Up Charlie's. And he was like, all right.
Yeah. If
you'd be like, all right.
Yeah. If he liked the status, it would be like, oh, shit, Brett Daniel, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny how that works, and we all acknowledge it, and it's as trivial but as important as anything.
And it seems like it just, like, it really has just over the last 10 years gone from zero to completely have taken over.
Oh, it's taken over.
I mean, it's like conversations last night at the show. There was tons, hey, you know, I saw this post you did about...
Yeah.
Like, people really, really, that's the conversation.
But people are, you know, and for better or worse, people are connected. I mean, you...
Yep.
I knew who a
it's
lot
a different
of,
kind of connection.
It is... Very different. It's more of an awareness
Yeah.
But not a connection,
yeah.
I guess. Because I knew who a lot of those people were last night, but I wasn't about to walk up to him and be like, hey, I know who you are. Because it's like, yeah, well, I know who you are too. We know who each other is. Doesn't mean we know each other.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't mean we say hi, unless there's a purpose.
Yeah. It's interesting. I catch myself playing it like I don't play video games that I feel like I do it like a video game. Like when I become active in it, it's in like little spurts at like late at night or early in the morning.
It's good to get it all over with.
Yeah.
You have a lot of followers.
I do as myself. But see, that's another thing is I'll make some horrible comment about Jennifer Lopez and like 140 people will like it, but I'll post a new song and literally 3 people will like it. And that gets a little devastating.
That is a devastating. You're like, I've done that too, where you post like
it hurts your feelings.
Tracks. Yeah. You're like, oh,
yeah.
No one gives shit about it.
Yeah, no one cares about me. What happened? Like, you like my dick jokes, but you won't listen to my fucking songs? Like, what's wrong with you guys?
Yeah, it's so funny. Yeah.
It's interesting. And it is weird. I had this thing the other night. I ran into a friend of mine that used to have these great pool parties. And I was like, man, we got to get a thing going. And he's like, yeah. It's like, what about tomorrow? Got nothing to do. He's like, no, I can't do that. And him and these girls that I knew, they were all talking and kind of like, oh, no, we can't do a pool party tomorrow. And then I get up the next day. I look on Facebook. They're all on a boat. On the they were like, no pool party. But no one's like, hey, Johnny, we got this boat. Like, come on out. I was like, wow. They literally actively, as a group, didn't tell me about the boat. But why is a grown man worried about that? And then I beat myself up. I'm like, what's wrong with me? What am I doing? I'm sitting here in bed wondering why these people don't like me when I'm sure they like me. They just had their boat plans and they didn't want any other people on the boat. It wasn't just me.
Right. It could have been fully booked. Because those boats, I mean, I feel like they have a limited number.
You're totally trying to make me feel better.
Well,
that's going to be a thing now.
Yeah.
Are you ever go to therapy? You ever
I should. Therapy? Oh, yeah. God. Yeah.
I haven't brought stuff up to my therapist like that before, but I wonder if I... You know, not many people like this new song I posted the other day, what she would say.
Yeah.
It's probably like a whole new level of anxiety. There's probably a pill for it.
Oh, man. There's a pill for anything, I'm sure. It's funny how... Like... It takes so long for people to digest music and so quickly at the same time. You know, I'm like just getting into like some Nirvana records and it's like they're 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm old school or I'm going back and, you know, staying true to my roots or whatever. It's just, I just got around to it.
Yeah.
So I wonder, you know, if, say, Dan Auerbach would post a song. What, you know, how many people would post it? Probably a lot. Probably people would like his stuff. But it's weird how people will separate you, like from liking your musical side versus your personality.
Yeah.
Like did you? No, never mind. I won't bring that up. But
I thought you'd be like, did you see that thing about Bieber?
No. There's something about the Chronicle and Overlord are really good about
like MC Overlord.
No, the blog.
Oh, okay, blog. Okay.
They're just good about being brutally honest and saying some things that are kind of funny.
Well, it's a weird world that we live in.
Yeah.
You know?
It is.
How let's go back to your music. When are you going to, when do you think you'll...
Finish the record?
Yep.
Probably not for a while.
Okay.
I think that, you know, we might go to the point where we get 3 or 4 songs, decide to release them as singles for over a couple months, and then release an album. I don't know if I want, you know, I say we're working on an album. I don't know if I even want to be working on an album because it takes me a long time to really like or hate songs that I write. Yeah. I don't know if that makes sense, but
no, it makes sense.
You know, when you get perspective, you always, whenever you write a new song, like any songwriter, I'm sure it's like this, that it's a new baby and you're like, I love this. This is amazing. This is great. And then you play it a couple times, or you play it live once, and you're like, this is terrible. Why did I think about this?
Mm-hmm.
Or you record it.
Right. It doesn't make the cut with the other guys.
But I think that, you know, I don't want there to be a timeline, but I want to do a whole lot of writing before I say, you know, when we're putting out an album.
Right. Do you write? Are you the writer?
Yeah.
Or do you guys write together? Because it seems like there's a lot of stuff going on that seems like a band was involved.
So the great thing about our guitar player is he's like, you know, I don't necessarily want to write all these parts. I didn't say that up front, but when I asked him to play the band, it was more like, hey, I have these other guitar parts I want in the songs.
You can't play them and sing them at the same time.
Yeah, and he was like, okay, yeah, I'll handle that. You know, I'd love to play, you know, he wants to play music. So he's kind of down to you know, play whatever, you know, however I write these guitar parts, but he definitely adds his own flavor.
Right, but he respects your vision.
Yeah.
That's great.
I mean, you know, I think that in that kind of respect, he's that gray area between a hired gun and a full... He's definitely a full-on band member, but he's open to, like, suggestion.
Right.
He's not, oh, this is my part.
Right. That's good. Not precious about his shit.
And you got to have some people that are and aren't about, you know... Because if you have four people that are really, like, oh, I want this, it's too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yep.
So... what I do usually is, like, come up with, you know, the chords, verse, chorus, whatever, couple parts, and I bring it to the band, and then we jam it out. And I see how the band reacts to it, how I react to what the band reacted. And a lot of things, it's like, Judd's playing it straight through. I never thought about that. I'll kind of change the picking pattern,
right.
You know. And or if I hear something, I'll be like, hey, can you try this? And he's like, sure. You know, it's real go back and forth. So it's great. I wouldn't say that... I write everything because definitely don't write the drum parts.
But you come in with some chords, melody, and lyrics, and kind of what you think is going on, and then bring it to the band, and it takes on its own life.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the best way to have it.
Yeah, and I think that anytime you come in and you're like, all right, I have everything written out, then you're approaching it differently than being in a band,
right?
And you know. I want them to react like, oh, I like this idea he's got. I got this great bass line.
Right.
And then it's their bass line.
Yeah.
And they play it, you know, own it.
Yeah.
And that's, well, I think that's a big reason why people, when they see us, are like, man, y'all are so tight. And it's like, well, it's because they're up there playing
their parts. These songs, yeah.
There's a vision, but it's, you know, they're owning it. Yeah. And that's a great thing about playing with those guys.
Well, man, you can really tell the amount of work that you guys have put in such a short time.
Thank you. Really,
you guys must rehearse a lot, and you've obviously played, you know, a good amount of shows to get you to a point where you really take the audience on a ride, and it's all extremely well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was great, and it was great songs, and a great cover of Moon Age Daydream.
Yeah, I can't fake it, baby.
No. No, you can't. You guys didn't go too far in the ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-na, which
is good. We did the solo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it goes on for a long time.
You didn't go into the crazy thing at the end, yeah.
We almost did, but it's much more of a studio approach than the band, live band. Like, they need to hear the chorus five times.
Yeah.
Four is...
Well, I thought it was great. I thought your voice is amazing, too.
Oh, thank you.
Really carried over the loud band, which is sometimes hard to have, like, a melodic voice of, you know.
Thank you.
A pretty voice to be able to go over, you know, without screaming. It's tough.
I wouldn't be able to do it too long if I was screaming.
So how do people find out where you're playing? Is there an actual, do you just go to the Facebook, Otis the Destroyer?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the best way for right
and
now.
And your dates are all set up there.
We do. You'll have, go ahead.
Sorry, you said you're going to be going to Oklahoma and stuff?
Yeah, Tulsa and Fayetteville.
Okay, Arkansas.
No, sorry, yeah, that was last month. I should really learn this stuff, shouldn't I?
That's all right.
Yeah.
You know, people can go find it on the Facebook, Otis
Absolutely.
The Destroyer.
We have a tour poster up right now.
Okay, great. Oh, with all the dates on it?
Yeah.
All right. Anything else I'm missing?
No, I think we got everything.
Okay. Well, that was a great show. Sorry about the sound shit. A great show last night, and I look forward to seeing you guys again.
Thanks for having me, John.
Yeah, man, no problem. Yeah. Taylor Wilkins, Otis the Destroyer, amazing live band. I suggest you find out if they're coming to a town near you and you get out there and find them on their Facebook page. While you're there on the Facebook, you can also like How Did I Get Here's page. Find out what's going on with us. Find out what the next shows are coming up. See what is going on in photos and whatnot. And you can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I am at Johnny Gowdy. I would like to thank Amber from Juice Consulting for helping set this up. I'd like to thank Taylor for taking the time for coming by, and also him and the whole band, Otis the Destroyer, for putting on such a great fucking show the other night at Cheer Up Charlie's. Blew my mind. It blew my mind. So get out there, get their EP, go to their Facebook page, like it, and while you're there on the Facebook, you like the How Did I Get Here? And, yeah, hey, look, man, like everything that you can, because you're just, it's just out there to be liked, right? I want to be liked. Hey, how about we listen to some more Otis the Destroyer? Thank you guys for listening. I love each and every one of you very, very much. Here's some more Otis the Destroyer. Let's get down.
You try to get all your girl fame, as we just talked, right up on top of the hill. You shot it into your left brain, just trying to keep out of the cosmos still.